Well, Darrell, I guess as we watch this whole economic scenario play itself out here, and, you know, there's predictions we could be in for a long run with this recession that we're seeing. But I guess looking out longer term, you've got some concern about inflation down the road here, Darrell?
Well, we have talked about this quite a bit in the past, Ray, and initially, you know, looking at inflation a year or so ago, looking at it from the standpoint of the high cost of living, of course, record high fuel prices, you know, escalating real estate values, just a general cost of living would have suggested that labor rates would have been under some pressure and contributing to inflation. But what took the pins out from under that, of course, was the mortgage crisis in the United States. Since then, governments around the world have been trying to stop basically a run on the banks. But all that said, when this is finished and done with, Ray, yes, I would see that the scenario is setting up very, very similar to the 1970s, where a recessionary economy then was followed by very high rates of inflation and a high cost of money.
So you see that being, I guess, a lot related to the price of energy. If oil starts to go up again, we could see that inflation start to really hike up here?
I see it actually a little differently now, Ray. You know, it's possible that energy could go back up, but I think really it's going to be how the governments around the world pay off these massive debts that they've incurred in order to try to save the financial sector. One of the easiest ways to pay off these debts or to get yourself out of that burden is to allow the economy to inflate.
Explain that a little further, Darrell. How do you see that unfolding?
Well, if you allow an economy to inflate, then you're paying past debts with money that is, of course, cheaper or worth less in value than what it was worth at the time those debts were incurred. And if you're, you know, a historian, we can go back to what happened to Germany after the First World War. They had massive debts that they owed the Allied countries. The Allied countries were not too forgiving on those debts, and so the German governance at the time attempted to inflate their way out of it, but just by printing paper or printing currency to pay off the debt, and the currency essentially became worth nothing.
The spin-offs, the ramifications of everything that's going on, I mean, could be pretty remarkable here, Darrell. Are we, though, setting new ground here, or can you rely on past to kind of direct us here?
Well, you know, in the commodity trade, there's a very high degree of respect for history repeating itself, Ray. And there's very long spans of time between major economic cycles like the one that we're going through right now. Of course, you know, it's widely publicized in the media that we haven't incurred a setback of this kind of ramification since the 1930s, which is quite some time ago. So looking at the scope of this, you know, and the number of countries that are involved, the size and scale, that it would appear to me that we're going to go through some rather remarkable changes in the financial sector and, again, very high volatility in the financial markets.
So from this end, we should be watching closely this whole inflation issue?
I would say so, and I'm focusing on long-term money in the United States, not day-to-day money that's, you know, that you see when you go to a bank and, you know, what the current cost of interest is, you know, for making loans today, for short-term loans, operating loans, 3-4 year loans. Going out 10, 20, even 30 years into the future, those markets trade, of course, 30-year bonds in the U.S. We peaked them here, looking at my screen, just prior to going into the new year, U.S. bonds, and we've come off quite significantly since then. What that's telling us is that the market is anticipating higher rates, you know, into the future. We're sitting right now at a fairly critical level, Ray. We would only have to drop, possibly down to about 120, 122, in around that area, 120, on the long-term bond market for this to start unwinding in the other direction, which would mean higher interest rates.
Darrell, also just want to touch base with you on what we've been seeing with the Canadian dollar dropping back to that 77-cent U.S. mark. What's your take? Are we still near the lows for this dollar?
Well, the market, as we speak right now, Ray, is holding the lows that have encountered here over the last about 3 or 4 months. And, you know, fundamentally, we could argue that this is a good bargain, good price for Canadian money, particularly when we are not exposed to the same type of financial issues as the United States. But that said, we are very dependent upon their export economy, as well as the general assessment of the investing community as to where the safest place is to keep your money. The U.S. dollar is still considered the world's reserve currency, and when people are very unsure where to, you know, put their money, they tend to put it in where they perceive to be the safest place, which at the moment remains the United States. So I think that's the big factor holding our dollar where it is right now. It is, that said, at a very critical level, just around 77 cents. We wouldn't want to see it drop below this level, Ray, or we could be heading down to a lower mark, even if it's just short-term. If you want further information, contact Darrell at 1-800-277-9524 or visit the website keystonetrading.com, Market Minute.